Hello, and welcome to Volume 7 of The Grind with Burnside. You guys are in for a treat today. I caught up with Strung Out and A Wilhelm Scream when they played Dinwiddie Lounge in Edmonton on the 17th of this month. So we've got an interview with Brian from A Wilhelm Scream, an interview with Jordan and Jason from Strung Out, a bunch of music, and that's all going to be coming up pretty soon, because we're going to kick things off here with A Wilhelm Scream's, off the 2005 Ruiner album, The King Is Dead. Hey guys, welcome back to punkradiocast.com. We're sitting here with Brian from
A Wilhelm Scream.
And how are you today?
I am absolutely fantastic.
Awesome. Now, we were talking a little bit before the interview started up. You're new to the band.
I am.
When did you join?
I joined about a year and a half ago after my old band broke up, my band The Full Blast. I just kind of dissolved. And I knew that Wilhelm was still looking for a bass player.
Yep.
So I hit our guitar player Trevor up on MySpace as quick as humanly possible. And I hit Trevor up because I got an email from my drummer saying I got to talk to you, and then I got another email from my singer saying if this is what I think it is, let's just fucking get it over with.
Yeah.
And then I emailed Trevor, went to the meeting, came back like the band broke up, and I already heard back from Trevor. Trevor said, you know, we love how you play bass. You know, we'll fly you out, come try out. We have a Canadian tour booked, and a Europe tour booked, and it's our first bus tour ever.
So you had your exit plan set pretty well.
Yeah,
I hit the
ground fucking running.
Well, that's a good way to be.
Yeah,
it's always crappy to be, you know, in that situation where you know something's up with your current band. No one really wants to talk about the elephant in the corner, but
it's coming.
You got to move on. You know what's happening. So
yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Now you guys just recently finished recording your next album called Career Suicide.
Yes.
I just saw there was a release date for October the 9th.
Yes, yes.
How was recording down in the Blast Room Studios?
Honestly, any time I recorded before, I fucking hated it. Like, I dreaded recording. And, you know, we spent about 2 months like writing the record in New Bedford, and then we get there, and like I'm you know, I walk in and we sit down, we put all our bags down. 2 seconds later, Carl Alvarez from Descendants walks in, and I'm just like, oh my god, like I've been ripping that guy out for like 15 years. But the actual recording, it was so much fun, you know, like I was well prepared, it went quickly, and the engineer that was sitting in the booth with me, Andrew, absolutely amazing. He's the next up in line at that studio.
I took a little look. I wasn't too familiar with the recording studio before, but I took a little look, and I just looked at the list of clients. Yeah. And that's like every CD that I've ever had in my car and said, I'm not taking that out till I die.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That's just such a repertoire. So to be in on that studio, that's got to be awesome.
Oh, my God, yeah. When you walk in the front doors of the blasting room, it's not, you know, plaques with like gold records or anything like that on the wall. It's posters from bands, from all the bands that Bill's recorded.
Nice.
And oddly enough, the first poster on the right hand side is the Wilhelm Scream Ruiner one. I was just like, okay, all right.
But and here I am. I'm in this.
Yeah,
now.
But
yeah.
Then you continue down the hallway, and then there's you know, Mustard Plug, Evildoers Beware, Less Than Jake, Borders and Boundaries, and then you know the last Rise Against record
and Potemkin City Limits Propaganda. You were saying before you guys had a chance to check them out in their show in Denver.
Oh my God, yeah. The day after we finished recording, actually, we had one day to just sort of get our shit together. We found out that Propaganda was playing, so we're like, why not?
What better way to celebrate your final recording day, and then
watching Propaganda, getting drunk, and like I think that's the only band since I'm getting on in years that I'll still go in a mosh pit for.
Yeah,
like I'm pretty fragile, but you know I couldn't stay away.
Now the name of Wilhelm Scream, that's obviously from the famed sound clip that sort of made its way through multiple movies. Mm-hmm. Has it made it into any of your songs?
The actual sound clip.
The actual sound clip.
I don't think so. Like. The guys have put out tons of CDs in the past, but I'm going to say no.
Is that something that might happen in the future? Just kind of sneak it in for those in the know?
I have no clue. We've never discussed anything like that before, so...
It might be one of those things where they have just an insane rate that they would charge you to use that specific sound clip or something like
maybe
that.
Maybe like that. We did talk about sample... Well, we recorded one of Bill Stevenson's farts... And we were going to try and sneak that in somewhere because...
Make that the new Wilhelm Scream?
Oh, yeah, so. Yeah. That is a definitely the new Wilhelm Scream.
There'll be a Wikipedia page about all the different songs that his fart appears in from this day on.
Yeah, and we will be the ones to start that. Yeah.
Earlier this year, you started off a tour, and you did a tour, I should say, in Europe with label mates No Trigger.
Yeah.
How was that?
Oh, man. Well... No Trigger had never been to Europe before, and we actually shared a bus and like one of those double-decker deals that they have over there. And so they drink a lot, and my band drinks a lot. And it got to the point where I actually set like a bedtime for myself because things just – some nights just got so crazy. The now former bass player of No Trigger, Tom C., when he drinks, like he's a – when he's sober, he's like, you know, nice, mild-mannered guy. But there's one point in his drinking where he just fucking takes off and starts, like, saying the most hilarious shit you've ever heard in your whole entire life. Like, there's this one night where he's just completely fucking drunk, and he screams out of nowhere. He's just like, I want to get naked, climb on top of the bus, and shoot moon arrows. And dead silence, and then continued by laughter for about 20 minutes.
Just never a dull moment when he's around then.
Yeah.
When he's gone.
Yeah, he's crazy.
I should give a shout out to, do you remember Sabelle from Amsterdam? I guess she toured along with you guys for 6 days.
Yeah. She followed us around. She was in the bus once in a while. I guess everybody gives shout outs to Sabelle, don't they?
Yes, it's sort of like a mandatory PRC thing that we have to do. So.
Oh, okay, all right. Well, yeah, no, she's a fan, and we know it.
Awesome. The good folks at punkradiocast.com in Brampton, Ontario, wanted me to give a hello to you guys, Danny and Jenna. And when you guys make it out that way, or you've already come that way, have you? Your head down the West Coast?
We started out on the West Coast. We're going to be coming there in September, opening for the Flatliners, because they have their CD release shows. And then we have some stuff that isn't concrete after that in October for, like, we're going to do a CD release show and then do a tour to promote that.
Cool.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on compilation CDs? Going back to off the Ruiner CD, there was a track, Me Versus Morrissey and the Pretentiousness. I knew I was going to screw that up, sorry. Contest. That was on Punk Rock Mixtape, a little album put out by Punk Radio Cast.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about it. I never really see that many compilation CDs anymore. Is that all iTunes? Like, what are your thoughts on what's happening to the classic mixtape?
The classic mixtape? I don't know. Like in terms of labels putting them out, yeah, you never see them.
Yeah.
I remember when I was 16 years old, like the Fat Records vault,
Punkorama,
and all those things. Like that's how I heard some of the bands that I idolize now. And yeah, no, I don't know. Maybe it's just the way that you know the internet has developed into, like, you know, you can download everything and you make your own mix CDs. Like, mm-hmm. it's now. Like everyone is their own like little label when it comes to that. That, you know.
Has the internet hurt you guys greatly or really helped you in expanding your fan base?
Well, in terms of expanding our fan base, yeah. I mean, you know, people go on MySpace and hear more like Me Versus Morrissey or whatever songs we have up there, and you know, that's like we'll have people come up to us and say, yeah, I didn't know who you were until I found out you were on tour with this band, so I checked you out, and yeah, no, the internet hasn't hurt us really. You know, not even in terms of like money, because we don't make money at all. You know, we're not really worried about selling 100,000 records.
A lot of the bands I've talked to have said basically that the new, you know, the paycheck now is actually getting out there and touring and getting that support from people buying the merch and seeing the shows. And I think it'll only be time before the record labels, the majors, and everyone realize that there's a new way that we have to do the business here. And,
oh, absolutely. And yeah. Because everything's changing. And you know what? Honestly, I have no idea what it's going to be like in the next 5 years, in the next 10 years, and so on and so on.
That's exciting and frightening.
Yeah. Okay? Yeah. I'm actually kind of stoked to see what happens, because, you know, I'm still going to probably be playing in a band and touring until the day I die. It's just
there
how
you
I
go.
Roll. I roll a hard style.
I recently checked out your new video for 9 to 5.
Our not finished video.
Okay, I was wondering about that.
It's not finished. I know it looks like an iPod commercial right now.
Didn't want to bring that up.
No. The finished product, it looks very much less iPod-ish. That was a very poorly phrased sentence, by the way.
That's all right. Okay. We're not all about grammar here.
No.
We don't roll that way.
Fuck that.
So, was it leaked on purpose, or was it somebody...
No. Well, the guy who filmed it, Ben, he's our buddy from Manchester, and he's also working on material for a DVD, and so he follows us around. He's ridden on the bus with us when we were in the UK, and he's captured, you know, some pretty crazy shit go down.
Some stuff that you have to pay him not to put into it.
No. Awkward. No. It wasn't leaked on purpose. It was just put up on the net for us to look at, and I'm sure, you know, some other people maybe look into his site too. I think there was a link on his site that could go to it.
Yeah.
And that was sort of how that all came together.
Once it's up there, it's getting pulled down and submitted to YouTube and whatever else. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but the finished version of the video, the white part, like the backdrop, was more like a green screen, and now there's like crazy shit going on in the background.
Cool.
So hopefully, that'll leak out on the internet soon too.
It's the internet. That's what happens these days.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on? I've sort of been asking everybody that I ever talk to. What are your thoughts on the current state of punk rock, or whatever you want to call what you guys do? I mean, like, it's such a large genre now, and it's... Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, actually, when we were on the Lagwagon tour last summer, we stopped in California, and Sean, who is the head of Nitro Records, or one of the heads of Nitro Records, we were talking about money and business and all that, and punk rock in terms of, like, fast music. He put it best. He said, punk is punk again, because... punk rock doesn't make money at all. You know, Nitro Records, you know, they used to be one of the biggest punk labels.
What's happening with Nitro now?
They're downsizing. I mean, we're off Nitro after this record.
Okay.
And I don't know what they're going to do in terms of signing bands or anything like that. We only really keep up with them when we want to ask them for money.
Hey, mom and dad.
Yeah,
that sort of relationship.
And,
right?
And then if we get any, then we're super stoked.
Well, I was wondering. I was checking out the Nitro page and hadn't seen really any updates on the news. And, when I was trying to get a hold of you guys.
Trigger's not on Nitro anymore. And I think it's just, like, us and the Aquabats that are, like, fully functioning touring bands. I think there's one other one. I don't even know.
So just corporate restructuring then, basically.
Yeah. Maybe you never know. They might end up like Revelation Records and be a back catalog company. Or they might, they might sign the next Silverstein or something like that.
So what are your thoughts on, we've talked a little bit about how punk is right now. What are your thoughts on the shape of punk to come?
You know what? I'm going to guess, like, by, the kids that come out to our shows, like there's a lot of people that say, we really dig your music and we're really into, like Trevor's lyrics have really moved me or you guys are great live and my band,
They have that connection with your lyrics and your music.
And you know what? If kids see that, see us play and then they maybe look at other bands that are more successful right now, like other genres that I'm not going to name because I don't want to shit talk anybody, with makeup and whatnot or anything like that, maybe they'll see that and see an alternative and see.
Are you talking about Kiss?
Yes, Kiss. Kiss are they are a bunch of assholes.
Gene Simmons regularly checks into punkradiocast.com, so
shit,
we are screwed.
Well,
I don't think he even knows.
I guess he'll never invite me back up to his hotel room after a show.
What a shame, eh? What a loss.
I'm bummed on that. Fuck.
Maybe you can't answer this, but the artwork on Ruiner was just tremendous in my opinion. How much time goes into the deciding of where, like, the direction of the artwork for your liner notes and your actual album cover?
Before we even, started recording, we were already, trying to get our thoughts together on what the concept should be who to thank, all these things are always coming to mind.
Yeah.
And, they were lucky enough to have Rob Doby design the last one. Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah.
I remember when I got the CD, and I was just like, oh, my God, this is amazing. Then I put it in, I obviously was a fan of the band before I joined it.
I would hope so.
Yeah. Oh,
seem like nice guys to tour with.
Well, yeah. Well, no, like whenever they came up through Ontario, Full Blast would be playing with them, and that's just how I know them. The artwork, We started like way in advance.
So do you end up do you find yourselves writing songs towards the artwork direction?
Well, we don't really think about that. Like, I think the songwriting helps build the image that we want to mold the artwork into.
Mm-hmm.
The artwork for the new album is all about conflict and a lot of animals. Trevor has gotten really into animals lately.
What kind of animals?
I shit you not, there's songs about horses, sharks, cobras, lions.
You guys are not jumping any sharks, are you?
No, we're not jumping any sharks.
What about lions?
We're just riding the lions and the horses.
That's fucking awesome.
Yeah, it's a victory. I don't even know what that means.
It doesn't matter.
But it's inspirational, at least to me.
I think there'll be a lot of inspired animal lovers out there.
Exactly. Yeah, hopefully we can get our songs on the Discovery Channel.
That's really what it's all about.
On Meerkat Manor or something like that. We'll write the new theme for Meerkat Manor.
Hey, you never know, hey?
I don't, really. I don't know anything.
I think we'll wrap it up there.
Okay,
let you get back to the
show. We definitely put the roof on that.
We have deviated from any sort of topic that might be making
sense.
So
yeah, absolutely.
All right, well, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
I will catch you at the show tonight.
Fuck yeah.
Was a little bit more a Wilhelm Scream tunage for ya. That was called The Kids Can Eat a Bag of Dicks. We've got that interview with Jordan Burns and Jason Cruz from Strung Out coming up for you right away. Before we hit that up, I need to warn you, the first 30 seconds of this interview, my mic was a little wonky, so it's gonna sounds kind of hollow, but just bear with it, because it just gets more awesome from that point on. Before we hit that up, we're gonna hit Party in the Hills off of Strung Out's Black Hawks Over Los Angeles. Recently released album. Pick it up. It's fucking awesome. Here we go.
To blitterating everything.
sitting here with
Jordan
and Jason
from Strung Oats. How are you guys doing today?
We are doing very well. How are you?
Very good. How's the store going so far?
The store's been great so far. You know, we're touring for the new record, and it's fun playing all the new songs from Blackhawks in Los Angeles. And seems to be going good so far. Up here in Canada, we've been reading some really good reviews on the record, so it's good.
No, I was reading you guys had a record release party at Skate Lab. How was that?
That was actually pretty fun. It was good to get some feedback from the record, you know, to see people come out and support the cause and barbecue and skate.
Yeah, and our good friend Scott Rudinsky and Todd Huber, you know, let us use the park, and that was awesome, you know, that they hooked it up, and it was just a cool environment. You know, we ended up playing, or I didn't really, but the rest of the guys ended up playing acoustic in the bowl, and like everyone surrounded the big bowl, and like a bunch of kids got inside the bowl, and they played acoustic, and it wasn't mic'd or nothing, and all the kids were singing at the top of their lungs. It was like a pretty cool setting, being in the skate park like that.
Unique experience.
Yeah, very.
Now, you guys have been together in various forms for over 15 years. How do you keep things fresh in the environment that changes all the time?
I think, just be open to everybody's ideas. I think that's the first thing that comes to my mind, is to just try out new things, you know, keep it fresh, and don't be afraid to do something great.
Everyone is involved within the band in the writing process. Does that get to a point where
you're all fighting to get something that you want in, or is it just a very, very collective process?
It's probably both. You know, there's always going to be, you know, the mixed emotions of who wants what and stuff. And, you know, that's been another plus about having Matt Hyde in the mix. You know, because Matt Hyde comes in as a guide to give us instruction and guide us through, like, you know, some of the ideas where between the band we're maybe pulling teeth, and he comes in and, you know,
irons it out,
and, you know, sometimes he'll just take the song where we have an idea and he just picks it apart and switches the whole thing around, where you're just like, whoa, you know, like you're totally used to it one way and he just switches it around, and you listen to him, and so far on both records, you know, the end result has been correct.
With a lot of your fans now, they're not quite, or they're around the same age as the age of your band. How does that feel to be
playing for a new generation and
playing to their kids?
Playing to their kids, exactly.
I think it feels great. You go out tonight, any night, and it's a pretty good, like I said, it's in every interview, it's a pretty good mix of people. You know, there's no costumes, there's no uniforms. People are random, various ages, boys, girls. It's a good little crew. I'm very fortunate, I think.
That's what a lot of punk rock is really all about. It's just the
showing up in here. Yeah.
Just, well, you see
what you are.
Yeah, you see all the people that have been with us for, you know, since the beginning that have been coming out, and then, you know, all the new young kids that are coming out. It's like, it's great to be able to keep making new fans and have like the young generation still, you know, inspired to listen to us, and, you know, just making new fans in general.
It's still feeling relevant.
Yeah, it's good, you know, because it seems like a lot of bands from our time have kind of peaked, and I don't know, I don't think any of us feel like we peaked. We're still climbing up, so it's good. We still all feel like we have a lot of creativity in us, and everyone's having fun playing. It's all good times.
All
good times. There's no bad times to be had.
Damn it.
Fuck.
Now, with your new album, it's a little bit more political than some of the other stuff that that has been produced. How do you feel about the state of, I can't just say the American government, but sort of the mindset politically around the world?
Well, I kind of apologize for that, because it's gotten to a point where over the last couple of years, it's all that, you know, it's hard not to be affected by it. And people always say, you know, about being too political or writing about current events or topical songwriting, that it dates you, it dates the record. And it's exactly what I wanted. I wanted you know, I wanted to be affected by it and get it out of my system so I can move on, you know.
It's cathartic. And yeah, if you're not responding to the situation around you, then, you know, then you're just kind of meeking your way through, right?
Yeah, what's the point of doing this if you're not going to let your environment and the things around you affect you and influence what you do, you know? And I hope that something else will come along, something new, I don't know. Something more positive to come along and start singing about hopeful things, I guess.
In terms of the internet, talking about new things, how has that affected your band, not just financially, but with increased exposure or anything else that the internet has really brought something to your band that you hadn't thought would materialize?
One thing, you can't get away with anything with YouTube anymore. Yeah. It's everything you do is on YouTube, and it's good and bad sometimes.
The internet's definitely, you know, plus and minus, but you know, it's definitely killing the record industry. And, you know, I thought, I come from a time where it used to be cool, you know, a new record was coming out, you were excited to go to the record store and find
all part of the
record. And you know, so you know, like when major chains like Tower Records are just out of business, that the record industry is fucked. But I also kind of blame it on the record industry for all the greed that they created, because a CD shouldn't be $18.99, you know. So I think that all the greed at the top of the labels, like, basically fucked everyone, because it all obviously started with Napster, when that guy decided, like, hey, I'm going to make this thing for free, and everyone found, you know, everyone just starts going, fuck that, I'm not going to pay so much money for a CD, you know. It's a dollar, you know, a dollar and change, you know, to make a finished product. So, you know, if they had kept CDs at 10, 12 bucks instead of getting greedy, then maybe it would be different. I don't know.
And I agree with you about the experience. You know, it was the experience of getting the artwork and putting it in.
Yeah.
But I was on the side of it was a flawed medium, the CD and the tape, and you were always going through CDs and tapes. And I like the fact that music's intangible now. I buy my shit off iTunes, and it's a buck a song. And I think that people, I like the fact that you don't have to worry about caring about your
physical
CDs, you know, and I'm all about the iPod and stuff like that.
Yeah, see, like, that is a positive aspect of things, you know, but like I said, there's the pluses and minuses of it, so, you know, and iTunes is great also, but, you know.
Are they not just becoming another record label, though? Evolve?
And they're actually the ones that make all the capital, you know, because they make more capital than the label and the band. It basically goes iTunes, the label, the band. So, you know, I think one day it's going to come to a point where you're not even going to need a record label.
Yeah.
You're just going to have your own music on your website and control it all through yourselves, you know. Like, the only thing that you need to have is the marketing machine. You know, you need to have your own creative marketing for doing it, and obviously the internet is becoming a place for that marketing.
Anybody can learn Pro Tools nowadays and make a killer record.
Yeah.
You don't need a huge studio anymore.
Yeah, so that's, like, studios are dead, you know, like, so many things.
Everything that was, you know, a solid foundation in the industry is sort of recoiling and evolving.
Well, think about it. DIY won.
Yeah.
It's like everything that, you know, the 80s that they were fighting for in the independent scene is come to fruition, and I think people need to start realizing it, using their imagination to think of ways to make it work for them.
Yeah, to better the whole system that's coming up. What do you think about the current state of punk rock, if you want to try to categorize everything that's out there as punk? And where do you see the shape of punk to come?
I don't know. I don't even know what punk rock is anymore, you know? There's so many different titles, and this rock, you know, like, emo. I, you know, it's just all, there's too many titles. I remember back to the day where punk rock was punk rock, you know? And I remember the days where if you went to a show, you went to see all the bands, you know? Like, kids are so fickle today that they spend their money and they want to see the one band that they want to see, or... and then they're over it, you know, they take off. But I think it was so much cooler back in the day when everyone was there for all the music, and I think we kind of see that more over in Europe, in different countries where so many people are more open-minded over there, and everyone's there for the music,
for the show itself.
And it can be, you know, it can be such different styles of music, but it doesn't matter because everyone's there to have a good time and enjoy the music in all different forms. So everyone has an open mind. It's not like I just came to see this one hardcore band and I'm a hardcore guy. And
it's like the Minutemen used to be on the same bill with like Napalm Death and like Black Flag and Descendants or whatever. You know, and it was all punk rock.
Eclectic mixes.
It was all just.
Yeah.
It was all.
Yeah, it was cool.
Punk rock.
That was punk rock. So punk rock today, I don't know. I think there's probably some bands that, you know, still fly the flag and some kids that still try and carry it out. But, you know, for the most part, it definitely isn't what it was back in the day. I mean, check out that movie, American Hardcore, you know, and it explains a lot of really cool things in there of what the scene used to be.
Yeah.
You know? And it was the scene. It was tight-knit.
Yeah. And it's just diluted.
Back in the day, if you walk down the street with a mohawk, a red mohawk, you're looking to get your ass kicked.
Yeah.
Today, you walk down the street with a mohawk, and it's like, cool, mohawk.
You just came out of Hot Topic where you got that.
Yeah, so, I don't know, it's changed, but I guess in time...
The whole rebellion aspect of it.
And in time, I guess that's just what happens. Things change.
Cyclical fads.
So is it for the better or worse? I don't know. It's what it is.
Getting an education is more punk rock now than starting a punk rock band.
Yeah, people start bands. People start bands today, I think. People start bands with making it in mind. You know, where, like, I came from the school where I never even thought about making money playing music.
Doing it for the music.
Know? But now, and I just did it because I was a punk rocker and I played music. And, you know, we're lucky to do what we do, but we paid a lot of dues. You know, we didn't just put some songs on MySpace and say, where's our tour bus, and hopefully 500 kids are showing up to our first show. Yeah, it's like, pay your dues, you know, and have a good time doing it, too, because the struggles and the learning process of going through that is part of the fun, to me.
Definitely.
I like sleeping on floors of random people's houses.
I just want to thank you for your time. I'll wrap it up so we can get out and catch the show. Any last words?
Thank you to Punk Radio Cast for, you know, constantly supporting us. I know we've been on a lot of the top 40 lists on there and won quite a few of those. It's pretty cool. And I see that they've stepped up the game quite a bit. Like, you know, you get your advertisement on Interpunk now, and there's some cool things to having the number one on there. So we... thank you guys for keeping us a part of that.
Hey, without bands like you guys, there wouldn't be a punkradiocast.com.
Cool.
With your hand, the way you sip your tea, the memory of all that. No, no, they can't take that away from me. We'll be right back.
strung out with Analog. And that's going to do it for another volume of The Grind, ladies and gentlemen. Make sure you go check out The Grind's MySpace page at www.myspace.com/burnside780. That's 780. The Grind's MySpace page is featuring the exclusive video with some live songs from the Strung Out A Wilhelm Scream show that happened in Edmonton there. Whole bunch more stuff, some pictures and everything else. Check it out, that's all I can say. Stay tuned for more Grind on punkradiocast.com in the weeks to come. I'm looking to cook something up with G7 Records, hopefully, so we'll keep you updated on that. And yeah, catch you next time on The Grind.